Dear listener, welcome to Sensory Introspection with you, your host, Glamour.
Hi guys, welcome to today's episode. And today we will be talking about sensory communication and take a little bit of a dive into sharpening the senses and the fieldwork experiences that I have gathered by doing this specific course. To start, we can just discuss different little topics, but I feel like as we are all students, this matter of education comes to be like the main priority. And I also think it's interesting to dive a little bit to the sensory idea and how this connects to education somehow. But before we go into that, just sit tight, grab your coffee or drink whatsoever that you would like, enjoy the ride, and let's explore the wonders of sensory knowledge. Let's think first about our experiences in school. This can be high school, primary, or even university. But let's go first into the past. If you think about high school, what was this like? How was your primary school like, if you can remember that far? Do you think about your senses back then? What senses were you taught to use, and which one of your senses do you feel like you developed the most? Think about your sight, your hearing, your taste, smell, and touch. Maybe go a little bit beyond the scope of education even. As a child, what were you taught back home in terms of your senses? If I have to think a bit more about who and how I was raised, I think for me the main thing would be sight and hearing. Over the years, especially in education, I feel though that I have been trained to use mostly one sense at a time, and also then individual senses, except you can use possibly all of them at the same time. If I can take another specific example to show you this, was the listening test that we would get in school, especially for language courses such as English or Spanish. We would get these sort of questions, like a list of 10 to 20 questions, I think. And there are questions about the content of the listening test you will be hearing. You can think of, for example, like two girls walking in a store talking about buying some cute clothes, and we will get descriptions from those clothes and you would have to describe them then. And yeah, we didn't use much of our senses beyond that. And I think a great scholar actually that I looked into because of this course was Constance Glossens, and they explored this topic in the paper actually, about multisensory and sensed learning in principle, but beyond the scope of Western cultures, and sort of look at the opposition and the dichotomy of these two. This paper, by the way, is called Other Ways to Wisdom, Learning Through Senses Across Cultures. And they first start off with a sort of classification of senses like smell and touch as lower senses, but it's also this tendency of Western cultures to associate these senses with savagery or sensualism. So classes also talk about how in the Western world, students or children, better said, are being taught to identify plants by studying pictures in a book. And I should have reflected back on how I was taught about plants. This happened mostly at home. Like, for example, with my grandma, I remember she would teach me about the manzanilla, which is basically the apple of death, or pringamosa, which is the Texas bull nettle. And these are poisonous plants, right? And they were teaching us on how to know that these are poisonous and recognize them in nature without having to be too close to them. And I remember one of the main things we would be like learning was about seeing the leaves, recognizing the leaves. And also the smell that they gave off, because they do have a specific smell. And depending on the temperature, it changes a little bit, right? But also, because most of these plants, the leaves were not poisonous, but the thing in them, like this little liquid, or sometimes you would have to eat the fruit or ingest them for it to be poisonous, you would also taught how to feel it. And as soon as you would feel that specific, I think it was like a little soft edged leaf, you know exactly leave this behind, especially if it was soft ash, specifically a light green. and then it would smell almost like furfur, you know? So this little idea, that's how we did it. But also beyond this, like beyond plants, I remember my mom teaching me quite early on, if I want to check if something is like not good anymore, like a food, say we cooked or we just want to see if something went bad, just smell it. Your nose is the best way to notify if something is not really good for your body. And I think this is something indeed that I haven't used anymore, or even if I use it, I was so subconscious about that. And I think it's really a pity. And I think Glassons make a really good point about this, that because we are fully bodied beings, we have the capacity to learn about the world through all of our senses. And this is indeed something that I think is really interesting that we would explore a little bit better in this specific podcast. But today is a special day. I decided, because this is one of our one and only elective and super special podcasts, we will have an opener floors for the audience so you can pose a little bit of some questions to us, and we hope to give you the best answer possible. I see that we have now a question from Lisa. Lisa, go ahead, the floor is yours.
Hi, I was wondering perhaps what the benefits of using the senses could be in education. Could you elaborate on that?
Thanks for the question, Lisa. I think that's an interesting question. The benefits of using the senses in education. Yeah, I think honestly the educational aspect is so interesting. And I read this paper by Leighton Shams and Aaron Seitz, and they talk about this multisensory learning, right? And they basically say that by using all of these senses simultaneously, people can be more optimal and effective at learning, right? The idea is that our brain was developed in multisensory environments, and also our brain brings all of the senses together. Therefore, by stimulating all of these senses by learning, we can have different benefits, right? One of these benefits can be enhancing engagement in classes. It can improve memory retention for students, increase effectiveness for different styles of learning, because indeed, what I've learned over the years in education is that we have different kinds of learner. Some people are more visuals, others more auditory, some more tactical. So you have these different kind of learning styles, which one can even argue are just a classification that can even cease to exist, right? But also this sort of idea of stimulating all the senses can facilitate and enhance skill acquisition and reduce your cognitive load. I think an interesting study that sort of backs up this idea has been done in Maryville University in Missouri, and they also concluded similar, basically. They said that by studying and using all of your senses at the same time, students can improve their retention because your brain is being focused and being stimulated in different ways at the same time. But this can also help with neuroplasticity, which I think is something interesting. But without becoming too neurological, let's just say it improves your studying method. So thank you, Lisa, for your question. I see we have another question, actually. Let's check this.
Hi, George here. Can you share some insights from your fieldwork experience?
Thank you for the question, George, and definitely I can tell you about this. I think it's best to sort of put two fieldwork experiences against each other. I had a chance to go into a skills lab and pretend to be a medical doctor, which was really fun. But aside from this, it really gave things a new idea, like it made me see things from a different perspective. Whereas we are not really paying attention to how much we can really use our senses. Like, I remember this part of the skills lab where my duo would have told me to check if I can hear the blood rushing from the aorta. Now, I was like, the aorta, that's really deep end, so how is that even possible? And I noticed, for me at least, because I'm not used to doing this, that only when I close my eyes, took a deep breath, I can actually hear the sounds. And I think this really put things into perspectives. And honestly, I feel like if I look at my progress from the beginning at the course, whereas I wasn't super open-minded, I was also a little bit hesitant and shy, I had to learn to trust myself and let things go, you know, step outside of my comfort zone. I feel like when you do that, you learn so much more, and your brain also sort of enhances your different experiences that you might have. And this also started leading to me thinking about the future and what I can really do in the future with the knowledge that I created from this course. I want to become a lawyer, although I'm not doing something specifically about that now. I feel like as a lawyer, this sort of idea that I've learned about communicating the senses really helps me enhance my persuasion skills. Because oftentimes when you're trying to persuade someone, you have to go into legal arguments, right? Or just arguments in general. And oftentimes you would like to give them examples. And this idea of being able to communicate better and describe something better with your vocabulary really helps them to pinpoint what you want them to say. And this can help you indeed persuade both your judges as juries. Another thing I feel like is this helps me with witness examination, but also just discuss with my clients and see exactly how are they feeling, their body language, and truly be more critical of how I use my senses and being able to properly listen to the opposition or what is being discussed, because this is critical for your assessment. Before closing off this podcast, I want you to listen to the sound and try to describe it to your neighbor without actually saying what it is. Have a nice day, and thank you for listening to this podcast. Here it comes.